Another important discussion that we need to have is that around smaller businesses and COVID-19. How do you actually safeguard your business against this? Some businesses can't, other businesses can. But what are the key things that you need to be looking at in able to answer that question, whether you can or whether you can't? It is 11:22. Professor Michael Samuelson will be up next. And this education feature is brought to you by the UCT Graduate School of Business, the business school that's been setting the pace of business education in Africa for over five decades. It is 11:22. Now, Professor Michael Samuelson, great to have you on the show once again.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the listeners too.
Yeah, COVID-19, hey, expected to wreak havoc. We've just heard from the chairman of Bidvest going, you know, this is a perfect storm. Some people are saying, never mind black swan, this is a grey rhino. And bigger businesses with balance sheets that they can leverage off can weather the storm to a certain degree. And if they start taking pain, then they're going to look at their P&Ls and go, okay, where do we start cutting? And hopefully they don't cut the muscle that's needed to help grow the business once we recover. Smaller businesses, however, in South Africa, even micro businesses, don't have those balance sheets. They don't have the liquidity. They don't have the type of margins. So what do they do?
Well, it's obviously the holy grail question, but in essence, the good thing with small and micro businesses is that they don't have that many costs. So most of their costs is related to salaries, which is obviously really, really tricky to live without. But the basics would be to just go back and cut back on everything that you can do. So that would be, it's like a big company, but just cut back on everything directly.
Yes, what you do with especially smaller businesses, you make a little bit of money, you start investing in the, I say investing, that, now I'm not talking markets here, I'm talking about you start buying yourself a nicer car, you start maybe moving into a bigger home, you start buying yourself bigger premises, because you've now made a little bit of extra money, and the norm is to, hey, if I make that money, maybe we should move into a bigger premises, because our clients will look at us very differently, but maybe these are the things that need to start cutting back on. If you don't need five people to sit inside some office and you can all work remotely, then why not look at that?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the game changer. So a lot of companies, small and big, now are going to look at their processes and say, we've done a lot of things that we actually didn't need to do. And coming back from that, we're probably going to cut down on a lot of things. For example, offices. You know, people spend a lot of time in traffic here, which is unproductive time. So if they can work from home and they add 1 or 2 hours to their life, like a bonus, that's obviously it's good for them and for the company.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the other question is, you talk about staff. Depending on the type of your business, Professor, isn't it better? Let's just take management consultants for an example. Shame. I'm so sorry. I have to talk about those that group that takes your watch, asks you for the time, and then charges you for it. But traditionally, a lot of management consultants have consultants who sit in their offices. They've got big office space, and maybe let's say you're a sort of small, mid-sized management consultancy, and you've got all these people that have to go out and do different things. Maybe changing a business model where your consultants are actually people who also own their own businesses and come in at a per project, on a per project basis. So sort of changing the way we traditionally do things is what I'm saying, where you don't necessarily have to employ people. There are people you can bring in at the right time, and you pay them for that particular project that you have received that you need to complete. Would that make sense?
Yeah, as long as it's productive, it's a tipping point where the consultant in that case becomes their own company, and then they have to do marketing, accounting, bookkeeping.
Yeah.
So if they need to spend more time on that, then they're actually productive, then it becomes a problem from a productivity point of view.
Sure.
I think that's where this is actually it's a sad period. It's a tough period. But one thing that all companies could do is obviously sit down, retract, and say, let's think of our business. What can we change to make it more sustainable after this? What kind of strategies can we deploy after this? The business model, obviously. What can we insource, outsource?
Yep.
Should we cut down? Should we actually close this business? We've been running this for 15 years now, and it's hand to mouth.
Mm.
Should we actually make a decision now when we can make it and start something new, or educate yourself, there's obviously a number of things that a person can do at any point in time, and I think this is the excellent time to actually sit down and say or think, what am I going to do in the future?
So, the support services for smaller businesses, though, do we have? I mean, there are lots of people who do it, and everybody's got an accelerator, and everybody's got an incubator, but I don't know if they're all as helpful as they potentially should be. Should we relook at the current models that support businesses, especially in times like these?
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, I'm also the director of kind of an accelerator. So.
Yes, no, I know.
but I'm not a very big fan of incubators or accelerators in general. There's very little research that supports that idea.
Exactly.
It's also a very convenient way for regions or municipalities or countries or governments even to act as they are actually caring about small businesses or entrepreneurs in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, right? I look at them, a lot of them, and I go, okay, here's a tick box exercise. And people put money into it. But, what are the measurables? We talk – the one accelerator that I think I do have time for – you guys do great work, by the way. And as well as Grindstone, Knife Capital's one. They've seen some great successes out of there. But for them, it's about knowledge, networks, finance, knowledge first. Do you have the right people in the business? Do they know what they're doing? Do you have the right skill sets? Networks, do you know the right people that can open up doors, access to market? And then if you need to scale and you need scale capital, then the finance comes in. But a lot of people tend to go, here is a couple of great skills that you need as a business. We can help you get your marketing right. We're going to get a lot of them don't deal with those key things that actually is very essential to the success of a business.
Yeah, and it's also, if you let somebody else do it for you, then you don't really have a business.
Exactly.
And also, even the success cases, this is obviously kind of a theoretical point, but we don't really know if those success cases would have been there even without the incubator.
Yes.
Because obviously every day we have successful firms started and starting.
Good point.
Without any support. And the hypothesis is actually that those that start without support are more resilient across time.
Yeah,
because they've never been buffered in a sense.
So, no, that's so true. Well, I'll tell you what I want to do with you, Prof, if you don't mind. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to get you on regularly if there's some great advice that we can share with small businesses, maybe theme it a little bit. I think this is the time where we need to get people like yourself on air to give people ideas, to get us all to start supporting South African businesses, local businesses. This is how we're going to get the economy going.
Yeah, no, I'm perfectly happy to do that. And I agree, because it is obviously a tough time, but it's also a time for reflection and the idea of actually supporting South African firms, it's so important.
Mm.
And, every time you buy a Coke, the real Coca-Cola, nothing of that stays in this country, almost.
Well, there you go.
So if you switch to, locally produced something, everything stays in this country. So there is a huge opportunity to actually do something, even in this kind of pessimistic environment.
Well, I'm loving this conversation. I want us to continue it over the next couple of weeks, and I want to thank you for your time, Prof. Really great chatting to you, Professor Michael Samuelson. And I mean, they do amazing work, but I think it's important. We need to be supporting local. Professor Samuelson, the Associate Professor at the UCT Graduate School of Business and heads up the UCT GSB Solutions space. But the UCT Graduate School of Business is committed to building the future of business leaders. Their postgrad degrees offer candidates the tools that they need to advance in the world of tomorrow. And through targeted learning interventions, their executive education short courses and customized programs give organizations a practical perspective to address the challenges that they're facing. SMS Build UCT GSB to 43884 to start building your future through transformative learning, because a new world needs new ideas.